the Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
Hi there, welcome to another special from the Women's Football Podcast. Kieran's alongside me.
Hello, mate.
This special, we're talking about the best of Europe's under-19s heading to Wales for the upcoming European Championships, which will be played from the 19th to the 31st of August. There's plenty of home nation interest as Wales and England will be competing. They, of course, face each other as well, don't they, Kieran?
Yeah, they do. For anyone that doesn't really know much about the Euro under-19s, and I think we'd both admit that we're not massively clued up on it, but it's a format where there's two groups of four teams, basically. So Group A consists of Wales, Denmark, England and France, and Group B is Sweden, Finland, Germany and Norway, and quite a few teams in there with lots of European under-19 experience. England have won the tournament before, France have won it a couple of times, Sweden are the current holders. Germany, the most successful team in the under-19s, six times they've won it, mate.
Yeah, crikey. It's a fantastic effort, that. Who do you make as the early favourites?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, as I said, we don't know a huge amount about under-19 football. I think that's why we wanted to do this podcast and speak to some people who know more than we do. But, I mean, as I said, Germany have won it six times, very much like their senior counterparts. You know, they seem to be a dominant force in this form of football. You obviously have to look at the Swedes. They won the last tournament last year, beating Spain in extra time in the tournament that was held in Turkey. So you've got to look at those. And obviously England, we'd like to think that they've got a chance, having won it in 2009 with names in there such as Tony Duggan and Jordan Nobbs. But, you know, let's give Wales a bit of hope. It's their first major tournament. It's also worth pointing out this is the first UEFA tournament that Wales have hosted in men's or women's football, so I know
for them, isn't it?
Yeah, and we had a meeting with them, didn't we, with the Welsh FA, not, you know, a few weeks ago, and they're really, really keen to push this, and they are really excited and honoured to be hosting it. So, you know, it's a real privilege for them, and hopefully the home nation can do well. You always want to see the home nation do well. You look at Sweden in Euro 2013 senior tournament. Sweden getting to the semi-finals created a real buzz in the country, and hopefully if the under-19s can replicate that and do well, it might generate some similar, you know, interest in Wales.
Of course, and you caught up with the tournament organiser.
Yeah, I caught up with Rebecca Crockett, who's the tournament director. She spoke to us about organising the tournament and the sort of preparation that's gone into it. So, yeah, really interesting what Rebecca has to say, and I know that there's a lot of work that's gone into it from a lot of different people, so certainly one that's worth listening to.
Yep, and I went for the English camp, and I picked Everton forward Nikita Paris, who I'm pretty sure will captain the England side out in Wales, and obviously she is absolutely delighted to be heading up Mo Marley's squad. And then we pulled out all the stops for the last one, didn't we, Kieran?
Yeah, well, as people know, as we mentioned in our last podcast, we launched a blog, and we've got a few individuals from in the women's game who are writing
pals,
for us.
Haven't we, really?
A few pals, yeah, I guess you could call it that. So we've called upon one of those pals, Natasha Harding, who is obviously a senior Welsh international, and we thought rather than us speaking to one of the under-19 camp, it might be an opportunity for Tash to take the microphone. So she's exchanged her pen for a microphone, and she has interviewed Anghara James for us.
The Women's Football Podcast. Follow the podcast on Twitter at WFPod.
Right, let's have a little look at the squads for both Wales and England. And actually, we recorded this, but then got the Wales squad sent through. So let's have a little look at it right now. As you would expect, there is a lot of Bristol Academy talent in there. You've got the likes of Rhiann Cleverley, Rachel Hignett's in there, Anghara James. Plenty more, isn't there, Kieran?
Yeah, I think you look at what they've got, and a lot of them have represented Wales, not only at youth level, but some of them have represented them at seniors as well, mate. You mentioned Ang Harrod, and Ellie Curzon has got a cap or two for Wales, and you mentioned Rachel Hignett as well. So, yeah, there's a few in there, and obviously we were discussing a certain ex-Liverpool striker whose name I'm going to let you pronounce, mate.
Oh, cheers, thanks. Yeah, Hannah Kerriacopoulos. Kerriacopoulos?
Kerriacopoulos, I'm going to go with.
Let's go with that. So obviously, as you say, she was released by Liverpool, but she's been picked up by Stoke City to prepare for this tournament. I'm going to mention Lauren Price, the skipper as well. 26 caps at under-19s level. That's great experience. Who obviously plays for Cardiff City.
Yeah, and not to confuse Cardiff City FC with Cardiff City Ladies FC. Cardiff City Ladies FC obviously play in the Premier League South in England, whereas Cardiff City FC play in the Welsh League. And Cardiff City are actually, at the moment, at time of recording, playing in some European UEFA Champions League qualifiers. So yeah, I mean, hopefully, the Welsh team can do quite well, because it was obviously produced some enthusiasm locally, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's have a little look at the England squad. Plenty more WSL experience in there, and actually it's quite a strong squad. A couple from Everton, as you would expect, with their renowned emphasis on youth. You've got Lizzie Durack, who of course is now left Everton to go to Harvard University. She's in there. Nikita Paris as well, the exciting forward, who might captain the side. But there's more, and you'll be delighted to see Felicity Gibbons from Watford.
Yeah, more commonly known as Fliss, mate. I know Fliss quite well. Obviously, I used to work at Watford Ladies. I helped them out with a little bit of media stuff last year. And Fliss is a class act, mate. A very gifted left-footed player, can play left-back, can play centre-midfield, can play wide left of midfield. So, yeah, absolutely delighted when Fliss got the call-up. But, yeah, she's just one of a number of really, really decent players that stand out. I was interested to see that Jess Sigsworth was announced in the squad. I saw her play for Doncaster Rovers Bells last week against Chelsea, and despite the fact that Donny got beaten 4-0, Jess Sigsworth had a really, really good game.
She has.
I mean, you know, Doncaster have had a really difficult year, obviously, with the announcement that they're going to be demoted to the WSL2, and you know, it must be difficult for the players to be able to motivate themselves at times when they know that next season they're not going to be playing in the top division of English football. But you know, players like Jess have really kept them going. And another name that for me that stands out is Jade Bailey from Arsenal. Obviously, Jade is a really, really highly thought of player at Arsenal. They're expecting big things from her. She's started a few games in recent weeks. And, you know, I think she could be a really key player in the middle of the park for England.
Am I right in saying that Beth Mead from Sunderland was top scorer in the National Premier League?
Yeah, good knowledge there, mate. She was top scorer. I think she hit the magic 30 last season, and such a young age to hit 30 goals in one season is a credit to her and a real reason why Sunderland were able to win the Premier League National Division last year. Came out of Middlesbrough's Centre of Excellence, I believe, and made her debut for Sunderland at 16, played her first season a couple of years ago and got 21, 22 goals around that mark. And she's lethal, mate. I've seen her play a few times, and she's a real predator in front of goal. And, you know, you've mentioned Nikita Paris already, and obviously England have picked Melissa Lawley as well from Birmingham City Ladies. You know, I think England have got some real firepower, and for that reason, they could, you know, really challenge for this tournament.
We've also got to mention the manager as well. It's some people's choice to perhaps replace Hope Power in the senior squad.
Yeah, well, you look at what Mo Marley did at Everton. She's produced a number of young players. You know, Andy Spencer's obviously taken on the reins and is continuing the good work that she started. But you look at players like Tony Duggan, Lucy Bronze, although Lucy Bronze actually came from Sunderland but was developed further at Everton. But, you know, and some of the players that are in this squad now, Paige Williams and Nikita Paris and the list, Michelle Hinnigan, who's obviously playing for the under-23s. There's so many players that Mo Marley has nurtured during her time at Everton. And she was there a long time. You know, I'm sure you know better than I would, working at the club, that there were a lot of people who were quite upset and disappointed that she decided to leave. But, you know, she obviously had a responsibility with England and felt that was something she needed to take on full time.
Yep, so two very interesting squads. But let's get our first guest on. And Kieran, how about you do the honours and introduce Rebecca?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned, Rebecca is the tournament director for the Under-19 Championships. So I caught up with her to have a chat about what preparation has gone into it. Okay, so I'm joined by Rebecca Crockett, who is the Euro Under-19 Tournament Director, putting a lot of work into making sure the tournament goes ahead smoothly. So, Rebecca, we're now into the final straight of the tournament coming up. Tell us, how are the stress levels at the moment?
Things are easy at the moment, but we're pulling everything together. We're confident we'll be ready and we can make this tournament a success.
So tell us a little bit about the preparation and the work that's had to go into it. You've obviously, it's being hosted in three areas. It's in Llanelli, Carnarvon and Haverford West, if I'm not mistaken. Tell us, what was the sort of thinking behind picking those areas?
Well, we've always had good cooperation with clubs in those areas. We've held lots of women's games in all of the venues, really. And so we were keen to work again with the clubs to hold the tournament in that area, to work with all the women's and girls football clubs in that area, and all football clubs, really, to get people helping out with the tournament, get people involved with the organisation and volunteering, and to get people coming to the games.
And what's the response been like initially? Obviously, the tournament is at the time that we're recording this a week away. What's the response been like locally?
It's been great. We've had loads of people who were interested in coming to the games, and we've been helping out with all the planning, and lots of people signing up to volunteer. So we're really pleased with the response.
And what sort of things are you having to do? What sort of tasks are you having to get done to make sure the tournament is ready?
We're in the area a lot. We're working with the host clubs and getting everything together up to UEFA's specification. Though this tournament's a bit lower profile than, say, the Men's Euros, the standards are just as high. You know, UEFA treat it, and we are treating it as just as important. It's the first tournament that we've had in Wales, the first finals tournament. So we're really grasping the opportunity, really, to make the most of it, to showcase women's football, and hopefully leave a legacy as well of improved participation, improved facilities. We really want to use it to benefit women's football and football in general in Wales.
It's something that Hamish and I mentioned in the intro to this podcast, about this being the first tournament that Wales have hosted in male or female football. What significance is that for women's football in Wales, and how proud are you as an organisation at the FA to be able to host this tournament?
We're very proud, really. It's a great opportunity for us, and we're really grateful to have been awarded the tournament. We bid for it 3 years ago, so we've been putting a lot of resources into it since then with all the planning. And we hope this is the first of future tournaments as well.
And what about the significance on women's football in Wales? Obviously, the senior national side are making great strides, with players like Jess Fishlock playing out in America, and lots of the senior players playing in the Women's Super League. What do you think this tournament can do for women's football in Wales?
Well, I know, having spoken to some of our senior players, they would have loved to have been in this final tournament in Wales, in front of a home audience. So it's a great opportunity for our players who are playing currently in the women's under-19s and the youth squads, and also for other female players in Wales. They can see what they can aspire to, like to be in the Welsh team, and they can see the quality of football that's being played across Europe with the teams we've got coming to visit. Also, when we were awarded the tournament, it coincided with the first season of our national league, and also the appointment of Jarmo Matikainen as the first full-time national women's team's manager we've had. So I think over the last 3 years we've seen those improvements and strides ahead in women's football in Wales in tandem with the tournament.
Do you look at the tournament that's obviously just been held in Sweden, the Euro 2013 senior tournament, and the response that was received in Sweden, really well, supported by local people? Is that something that you're obviously looking to emulate in Wales?
Oh, definitely, yes. Yeah, great attendances in Sweden. I'm not sure that we'll meet them, but Sweden are a bit ahead of us there. But it shows that there's definitely an appetite for women's football, and I hope that happens here as well. Our indications are good. We hope to have a lot of people turn up. It's very affordable. The group stages are free of charge, and there's just a small cost for the semi-finals and finals. So we hope we can emulate that and see plenty of people coming to watch both the Wales and the non-Wales games.
Okay, so my final question would be, if you're putting your sales cap on, why should people in Wales and on the outskirts come and watch a game in the under-19 tournament?
Well, this is a fantastic show. showcase of women's football. It's the best teams in Europe. It's a chance to see our Welsh team in the finals. And these are the stars of the future. These are the people we are going to see go on to do great things, I'm sure.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you, Rebecca. We wish you all the best. And of course, we wish Wales well. And we hope that the tournament is a success and we shall see you out in Wales.
Great. Thank you very much.
The Women's Football Podcast. Get involved via Facebook. Facebook.com/WFpod.
Right, nice job, Kieran. Right, my turn now. And I caught up with England striker Nikita Paris, and she is absolutely buzzing to be part of the tournament.
Well, Nikita, congratulations on your call-up. You must be very excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be able to go to Wales. Obviously, it's a massive tournament for us, especially on the back of most England groups who was in major tournaments this summer not being able to do half of what they could do. So it's pressure on us, but we welcome the pressure.
A couple of Everton girls going with you, that must be good for you as well.
Yeah, it's good to see that Lizzie and Paige both got selected to think of record this season in order to make their way into the Everton starting lineup as well as the England under-19 squad.
It's quite a talented group, the England team. You've got quite a few players who have been playing in the WSL.
Yeah, it's surprising this season that most of us who have been selected are either in a WSL squad or starting, which is obviously good for England under-19s. To be able to produce that sort of talent, young talent at a young age.
And obviously you've been the captain as well. Are you keeping the armband in Wales?
I think I have to wait and see. Obviously I was captain in Norway and I love taking up having that responsibility in the team, but obviously there's also other leaders in the group, so it's up to the manager who she decides to select.
What are the expectations going into the tournament?
Obviously, if you don't go into the tournament thinking that you're going to win it, then you've already failed at the first hurdle before you've even got there. So we're hoping to at least get qualification, but we're really looking for that gold.
And obviously, quite an interesting game because you do play the host Wales.
Yeah, obviously, it'll be a big game. Obviously, Wales will have the home crowd, but we've just got to stick to our game plan and not play the game and not the occasion. Obviously, Wales are going to come out strong after I hit a derby, but for us, it's just a normal game that we need to win.
And you obviously are managed by Mo Marley. What's she like to play under?
It's great. She's the best manager I've ever played under. She's just a nice person on and off the pitch. I'm able to talk to her if there's any concerns about the team, and we've got a good relationship on and off the pitch.
Who do you see as the danger side in the tournament?
I think you can't underestimate any team. Obviously, France have got a name for themselves, but obviously Denmark showed in the European Women's Finals in Sweden that they produced some really great players, and obviously I'm looking forward to playing every team.
But obviously, this is a good chance for some of the girls to, push their claims for inclusion in England sides higher up, under 23s and seniors.
Yeah, going into this tournament, we know at least six of the players know that it may be the last under-19s games that they're going to be playing, because obviously they're too old for that age band now, so We are looking to stay hard claims further up, like 23s and seniors, but we've got to perform on the day and throughout the duration of the tournament.
Have you been chatting to Tony Duggan? I mean, obviously she's an under-19s European Championship winner.
Yeah, and Michelle too. Michelle obviously lifted the trophy, but we have a great relationship. We talk on and off the pitch at Everton, and we have a good bond between each other, so she's given us good tips, and obviously I'll take everything she says on board, because obviously she's experienced further up as well as in the 19s.
And just finally, you clearly enjoy playing for England.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great feeling to be able to play for your country, and hopefully I can get some goals on the score sheet and hopefully take us to at least to World Cup qualification, if not gold.
Thank you very much for that. Best of luck in Wales.
Thank you very much.
The Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.
So there we go, that was Nikita Paris. Now it's time for me and Kieran to take a back seat and let women's football blogger Tash Harding do our job for us and speak to international teammate Angharad James.
It's Tash Harding doing an interview with Angharad James, talking about the women's Euros that are being held in Wales in the next couple of weeks. But we'll refer to it as Has, because Angharad's a bit too formal. First of all, it's getting closer now to the opening game against Denmark. How are you feeling?
Yeah, very excited. Can't wait now to join the team tomorrow afternoon. And
keep going.
To join the team tomorrow afternoon and get things started, really. It's been a long progress now that we found out about a year ago that we're going to hold the final tournament, which is a huge thing for Wales. It's the first major tournament that we've been involved in, male or female. So we just can't wait to meet up with the team and get started now.
I've heard, you know, a lot of the girls have got injured. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we've recently two girls have unfortunately done their ACL, so I know they were both competing for a starting position and probably likely to start, so it's unfortunate that we're missing them, these two players, but I know that the replacements that have come in are just as good and can do just as good a job, so yeah, we just got to build on what we've got and we just got to deal with it, really.
Do you think there's any pressure or expectations on Wales?
Well, obviously, we're the home country and we're hosting it, so I know we are going to want to do the Wales Pride as a nation and all our family and friends pride, but personally, I don't think we're expected to get out of the group, so if we do get further, then anything's just a plus from there. So I know that we've got this pressure on us to perform and hopefully we will do so.
What can you say that first game, what do you think it's going to be like? Can you describe walking out onto the pitch, the change rooms beforehand, the pre-match meal?
Yeah, I know everyone will be nervous, so just trying to get everyone out of that, just try and treat it like a normal game, but I know there's so much behind it that it won't be, but hopefully we can continue to perform like I know we can and just take that into the first game.
And do you know who your roommate is yet?
Yeah, well, it's normally Ellie Curson, so.
Okay, do you have any team bonding sessions or any games planned?
Nothing planned as of yet, but I'm sure we'll have a lot of banter flying around the place. And
you're together for a long time.
I know, 10 days is a long time to be, especially be stuck with Ellie in a room.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, but no, I'm sure it'll fly by with the importance of the tournament.
And Ellie always plays with her hair down. Do you think you'll see her wear a hair tie or a bobble in training?
I'm going to make her wear a bobble in training just for you, Tash.
Yeah! So all in all, everyone's excited, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think everyone's just waiting. Can't wait for it to get kick-started now and all meet up and get training and preparing for the first match.
Do you think you can get some of the girls to come down and support you, even though they're English?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so, especially for the second game. Obviously, it's against England, so I'm sure they'll come down to an eye and all bagged up and kitted up in England kit, but hopefully we can shut them all
standard.
Up. Hopefully we can shut them all up and get a result.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great advertisement for women's football.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's not as... It's growing in Wales at the moment, and hopefully this will just encourage more youngsters and more female footballers to get involved. So that's something that we try to do by holding this tournament, and hopefully we can succeed in doing so.
Are you going to go for a score prediction for your first game?
I'd say 2-1 win.
Good answer! I love the confidence. Yeah, thank you very much for speaking to us today. Good luck in the tournament. Make sure you kick England's ass.
Thank you very much, Tash.
The Women's Football Podcast. Listen to the podcast via SoundCloud.
soundcloud.com/WFpod.
So there we go, that's the podcast, and hopefully it's going to be an absolutely cracking tournament. Good luck to all the teams involved. That's me and Kieran signing off.
See you later.
the Women's Football Podcast, shining a light on the women's game.